All right, there is undoubtedly an excitement around our nation as we face an election that is almost unbelievable. Not only did our ancestors, who were in chains during the times of slavery, not think this possible, but even we ourselves, just a year ago today, would not have thought we would be in the predicament that we are in, or the possibility that we are in right now or anytime soon. But God is able to do far and beyond what we might ask or think. Now, there is a nervous tension in our country of what's really going to happen on Tuesday. Everybody has their hopes, everybody has their dreams, and nobody but God at this point knows what truly is going to happen. But I want us to go back a little bit before this whole election stuff started and look at another great orator who had come upon the scene. You see, there was a great orator who had come on the scene that when he spoke, people were amazed. He had such a charismatic personality that people just flocked to him, and his message was in touch with the common people. And people were saying, you have got to come and hear this guy. Even people who disliked him were saying, this guy speaks with an authority that we've never heard before. And the crowds kept getting larger and larger as he went from one village to one city to another. And he came with a message of hope. He came with a message of change. He came with a message that a new day is coming. And people were asking the question, where did this man come from? Where did he get all of this knowledge? He looks just like one of us. Just a few years earlier, nobody even knew what his name was. But he came with a message that a change was coming. There would be no more business as usual. And even those in power recognized that this guy was a potential threat to the way they had kept people in check time and time again as they ruled over their lives. And before he could get started good on his campaign, there were attempts being made on his life. But they all failed because he had a destiny to fulfill. His time had come. Now, he went back to his hometown to officially announce his candidacy and to state what his agenda was going to be, not only for the nation, but for the entire world. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth and went to the synagogue or the church, as was his custom. Did you hear what I said? As was his custom, which means Jesus did not just show up at church around election time. He was there week in and week out. When you run into somebody that says, well, why on earth do I have to go to church? Ask them, do you want to be like Jesus? And if they say, yeah, you got him. You say, it was Jesus's custom to be in church on Sunday. It ought to be your church custom to be there as well. Now, Jesus had a portion of the Old Testament there in the service. Somebody gave it to him, and he stood up, and he began to read it. And this portion that he began to read was at a time when God's people had known what it was like to be second, third, and fourth class citizens. They had been in Babylon, where they had been sent captives for 70 years after they had been destroyed, or the nation had been destroyed in war. And they knew what it was like to be at the bottom of the bottom. They knew what it was like to have been able to be discriminated against. They knew what it was like to not have things going their way. And they were looking forward to a time in which God would intervene and reverse the circumstances in which they found themselves and put their lives back on the right track. Now, even though they had been released from Babylon and were back in their home country, they were still prisoners because now the Romans were the ones dominating and abusing them. And Jesus had decided that the purposes of God would make up the essence of his political and social platform for his life. Jesus began his candidacy with these words. He said, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. I want you to notice that Jesus did not bring any delegates to the church that day, but he came with the only vote that ultimately mattered, and that was a vote from heaven above. And the reason Jesus is going to give his speech is that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Ask your neighbor, is the Spirit upon you today? When we think of the Spirit of the Lord as really being upon someone, we often think of someone shouting, someone dancing, someone prophesying, or someone preaching in a powerful manner. And that's okay, but that's one of the ways the Spirit is upon us. But that's not the only way the Spirit comes upon us. The Spirit comes upon us in order to bring us into a right vertical relationship with God so that we can have some horizontal dealings and actions with other people that are around us. Amen? You see, our purpose statement says we are to enter into a right relationship with God, but it ends with making a difference in the lives of others. And what ties it all together is meeting Jesus Christ and being equipped by Jesus Christ to make that difference. Now, if we claim that we have a great spiritual relationship with God, and yet we are not making a difference in the lives of others, how many of you know we just fooling ourselves? If we pretending like we just walking with God in leaps and bounds, and we not speaking to somebody in our house, how many know we just fooling ourselves? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you because he has anointed you to do something. Tell your neighbor, you got to do something. Now, Jesus was already in a right relationship with the Father, but the Spirit came upon him because he was about to do something in the lives of others. Jesus said, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now, the good news that we have to preach to the poor is that Jesus died for your sins and he can make a difference to your life. But you know something? In order for that to be good news to the poor, there first has to be an element of us being able to say, Jesus changed my life. And because he changed my life, I'm here to help you if you want me to help you. Now, what can I do for you? You see, our love for God has to lead to an acceptance of people and an openness to be in contact with people. How many of you know that we are more prejudiced against the poor than we really want to admit? It is real easy to want to close our eyes to the poor and pretend they do not exist. How many of you done went to McDonald's for that 15th time and they already standing there at the door and you hoping somebody will call your name so you can look the other way as you go into the door? How many of you have seen them at the same slot and you say, man, if you can show up here every day at 8 o'clock to beg, you ought to be able to show up at a job somewhere. And so it kind of turns our hearts against the poor. We would rather live in our world of abundance and talk about how the Lord has blessed us than to have to deal with some of those people. When we talk about the least of these ministries in our church, we need to recognize we need the least of these as much as the least of these needs us. For the least of these reminds us that God is working in the lives of people that we would just assume cast by the wayside. How are you going to bring good news to the poor this week? You see, when it comes to voting for candidates in an election, we need to ask the question, is my vote for this person going to bring good news to the poor? Because God has a special place in his heart for the poor. It's not because the poor are more holy or the poor are more righteous or the poor are this, that, or the other. It's none of that. It's simply because they are poor. And God says throughout his word again and again, be careful what you do to the orphans and the widows and the poor. You know, it'd be so much easier to help the poor if they would just show a little bit more gratitude. You know, you ever went to help one of them? They said, I just need $2 to get me a hamburger. And the moment you put out $3 bill, can I have that other one too? But that gives us the opportunity to be like God, because God is grateful to ungrateful people. How many of you have been ungrateful for what God has done for you at some point in time in your life? So God has said, I'm giving you the opportunity to be like me in dealing with the poor. You see, the greatness of a people are going to be judged by what they did with the poor. Jesus said, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Now, the word freedom here literally means those who were captured at the point of a spear. Those who had a gun sort of put to their head. We all have people who have been captured by all kinds of things. Some people have been captured because of the greed and the abuse of others. Some people have been captured by making poor choices for their lives. Some people have been captured because they believe the lies of the enemy, the evil one, when he told them, nobody will ever find out. This one time won't matter. You're different. You can handle this. How many of you have believed the lies of the evil one at some point in your life and found yourself held captive? Jesus was anointed to help people find a way out of the captivity they have found themselves in. How can we proclaim freedom for the prisoners around us today? I'll tell you how we do it. We do it by helping people to have a second chance in life. I challenge us to become a second chance church, a church where people from all backgrounds, all addictions, all heartaches, all pain can come through our doors and find a group of people who are willing to stand beside them as they seek a second chance with God, seek a second chance with society. You know, it's great to seek to build a building for God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want us to move to another level of seeking how can we build lives for Jesus Christ. You see, we can't take a building to heaven with us, but we can take people. And when it comes to voting, you have to ask yourself, are you voting for a candidate who gives people a second chance? You see, at some point we have to stop voting for people who want to brand people felons for the rest of their lives. Now, how many of you saw in the newspaper just a couple of weeks ago how racism here in our own area allowed blacks to be charged with felonies when whites were doing the exact same thing and even worse, and all they were getting was misdemeanors? You see, we have too many of our young people who they think so short term. They think, so what if I go to jail for 6 months? So what if I go to jail for a year? I can handle that. Yeah, you can handle 6 months. You can handle a year. But you can't handle having a felon wrapped around your neck for the rest of your life so that every time you go to get a job, you're going to be denied. We can't just vote Democrat or Republican. We have to find out, what do you think about this particular situation? Because some of those people are going to come in our church, and we're going to want to help them to find a job. But if there is no place to get a second chance, then what is it that we offer them? The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, not to lock them up and throw away the key. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. And Jesus no doubt had in mind people like blind Bartimaeus, whom he healed of blindness, and people like the man in John's gospel who didn't even know who Jesus was, but Jesus healed him and he declared Jesus to be his Lord. Jesus also spoke saying that there is a blindness that comes from people who think they see but really do not. Is there anybody here who got somebody around them who is making terrible decisions with their lifestyle? but they are just as convinced that everything's going to work out just as fine in the end. They simply are blind and refuse to see. And that's true about the teenage girl who doesn't believe that 80% of teen mothers are going to suffer poverty for most of their adult lives. 80% of them. It's also true, though, for the Wall Street executive who does not believe if you continually lie and cook the books, people are going to lose their jobs no matter how big of a bonus you give yourself. You see, both individuals, both groups are choosing to be blind. Now, sometime I have to confess, I'm a work in progress. God is still working on me, because there are some times when there are folks that's making bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. I get sick and tired of them making bad choices, and I say, go on and do what you want to do and suffer the consequences. I'm just a work in process. God is working on me, because Jesus said he had come to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, which means we don't quite give up, because people on all levels need the Lord. You see, Jesus doesn't just care about the person who is blind. Jesus cares about all the people that the blind person is going to mess up because of their blindness. You know, our neighborhood has been crippled by the boys selling drugs on the corner. But you know something? The economic damage they have caused to our neighborhood is minor compared to the destruction caused by the greed of the bankers and the subprime lenders. You cannot go on a street in our neighborhood without seeing row after row after row of houses boarded up, paneling stripped off. That was caused by the people who do things in suits with pens and paper, and in the process they've destroyed people's lives. You know, there has not been a drug dealer to my knowledge that has stolen any money out of my pocket, but thanks to the bankers, I've learned that in the last 3 years my home has plummeted about $10,000 that somebody has taken out of my pocket. That means that was 9 payments that just went to the wind. Sure wish I'd given it to the deacons. At least it wouldn't have been gone. When we vote, we need to vote for people who recognize that white-collar crime is as devastating as any other crime to victims in the neighborhood. We have been anointed to help open the drug dealer's eyes as well as the bank executive eyes to the reality that they need Jesus in their lives. That's why we go into the neighborhood on foot. That's why we go into the business world on the internet. We take the same Jesus no matter where it is we are going. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to release the oppressed." The actual wording in Greek is to set free those who are bruised. And the word bruised can refer to broken in heart as well as broken in body. How many of you have been bruised at some point by life? Bruised by people who didn't understand you. Bruised by events that came into your life. Bruised by things you didn't expect to happen to you, but they did. And you see, the problem with bruises is that sometimes bruises cause us to limit ourselves. We think because this happened to me or that happened to me or I'm in this circumstance or that circumstance that I'd never be able to do such and such. I'd never be able to try to do such and such. But Jesus is saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to not only to amend your bruises, but also to remove the limitations that they have placed upon your life. You can be set free this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to set free those who are bruised. You know, a lot of times people are bruised through no fault of their own. You're bruised when, as a child, when your mom or dad has been sent to prison and they can't be there for you. You're bruised when you're in prison and you can't be there for your child. You're bruised when your job is shipped overseas. You're bruised when your job is simply eliminated. You're bruised when you can't get the treatment you need because you don't have any kind of health insurance. You know, we do what we can as a church to help with these bruises through our prison ministry, through our single parent fund, through our prescription medicine fund. But we should vote for candidates not based on how big of a tax cut they may offer us, but on how eager are they to set people free from the bruises that they are suffering. Because we as Christians, we are looking out for what's the best for the least of these in our society. Now, there are no perfect candidates for us to vote for, because there are some issues of justice and morality which one candidate may have, and there are some issues of justice and morality that another candidate may have. And we are oftentimes forced to choose between the two. We live in an imperfect world. But it is important for us to choose and to vote, because voting is a tool that God has given to us to make a difference in the lives of others. We vote not to make it easy for ourselves, but again to identify with making better the situation for the least of these. You know what? No matter what happens on Tuesday, our nation is going to have reached another milestone in its history. And our cause as Christians, though, is far greater than either team and either ticket. For in 8 years, and maybe four, that candidate will have moved to the background and there will be yet another election. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to continue to press for the same agenda that Jesus announced in his campaign speech some 2,000 years ago. Jesus' final declaration for the Spirit of the Lord being upon him was to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, Jesus is proclaiming, today is the day in which you can receive God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. God's Spirit is upon us to let us know they don't have to wait till they get old to come serve the Lord, because they might not get old. They don't have to wait till they get clean to serve the Lord, because they might not get clean. They don't have to wait to get it all together, because they've already messed up. So what makes them think they're going to put it back together? You know something? No matter who is elected president, he is not going to be able to do all the things that have been promised or spoken of, because there are going to be obstacles to prevent it. And there are things waiting for us in 2009 that none of us could have imagined. We like to talk about the president being the most powerful person in the world. But think about it. How powerful is our president right now, when no Republican in his right mind want to be seen on TV with him at the same time? You see, all the power that this world has to offer is fleeting and leaving. And probably the best advice President Bush can give to Obama or McCain is, buddy, this is going to pass. You're going to leave. Do the best that you can. And remember this. Some of them people that's cheering for you today are going to be complaining about you tomorrow. Now, y'all been praying for whoever your candidate is, and you praying, God, this be your will. Now, if that's what you ask God for and God give it, I want you to be there through thick and thin, because God has already told you this was his will for us. Whoever it is, they will be gone in 8 years. I was watching the news about 2 weeks ago, and I saw President Bush on TV, and I said, oh, yeah, he still is the president. The man wasn't out of office yet and I'd already forgotten him. But you know something? Jesus is not going anywhere. His power is just as strong today as it was 2,000 years ago. Nobody elected him to office. Nobody can stop what he puts into motion. There will be no filibusters, no two-thirds majority. If he says it, it's going to happen. If he's promised you something, it's going to take place. He has told you he has a mansion he is building for you in glory. I don't care what happened to the construction industry down here. It's going up. They talk about streets paved with gold in heaven. I don't care how much the stock market crashes down here. The streets still paved just like he said they were going to be. Jesus can do what he needs to do in your life right where you are today. The question is, are you willing to allow the Spirit of God to be upon you to bring you into a right relationship with God so that you can be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ and go forth to make a difference in the lives of others? Unlike candidates who are happy just to have your vote, Jesus demands a lot more. Jesus demands your life. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross, deny himself, and come follow me. You see, Jesus is not running for office. He is already the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you are being invited into his kingdom where true righteousness and holiness is going to prevail. But first, you must be willing to be changed so that your primary allegiance is to Jesus. I want to warn you in advance. The campaign for Jesus does not stop. It's 24/7. It will interfere with your schedule. It will change your plans. It'll cause you some heartache and some pain. And Jesus said, before you say yes to me, sit down. Count the cost. See if you got what it takes to go the whole distance. You see, no decision you make is going to be as important as whether or not you choose to follow Christ now or you choose to follow him later. Let there be no doubt. Everybody is going to choose to follow Jesus because the scripture says, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It makes all the difference, though, whether you make that confession before you die or after you die. Because if you make it before you die, when you proclaim it after you die, it's going to be a hallelujah celebration time. But if you wait till after you die to make that confession, you've got a dark and gloomy future ahead of you. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Use it to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord.